Hello and welcome to another episode of the FPL Hangover Podcast, where we raise the bar and lower the tone, all things FPL related. We are coming to you live on the 22nd of August. Game week 2 is in the bag, out the window, down the road, and another week of FPL information to swirl about in the noggin. But here tonight we've got a special guest to try and help me make sense of it all. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of mine. He's all around one of the soundest lads you're ever going to meet in the FPL universe. FPL Fairy Steve, how are you getting on, my friend?
I am good, Jared. Thank you very much. And thank you for the warm welcome. I feel honored. I think it's my third time on the show. So, I'm looking forward to a good chat. I have a few big decisions to make this week myself. So hopefully we can get there.
The honor is all ours, buddy. How was the weekend for you? I heard you were up to a bit of running.
I was doing a bit of a triathlon in Cork at the weekend, so my body is a bit broken here as we chat now, but 2 days on, so I'm on the mend after the Ironman, and I'll be retiring my boots from that now to focus on golf and FPL.
Golf and FPL. Well, if you do fantasy golf, I know who to come to.
That's it.
Speaking of FPL, how did game week 2 go for you, buddy?
Game week 2 went grand. Nothing to write home about. I think it's been a grand start as well, I'd say. I had Mbeumo, so I think that was like the big one during the week. I think most people either had him or Matoma. I got 49 points. I have the template team like most people, with Matt Turner, Chilwell and Gabriel getting me nothing. And then Estupinan was the star of the show in defence with his big 11-pointer. Then Mbeumo got me the 16 in midfield, so I think he's a bit of a differential, which is great. And then my two Man United and two Arsenal all got 1, 2 or 3 points each. And then I had Haaland and Watkins up top, so a bit of a meh start, but looking forward to using my first transfers now, and I think I'm ranked about 1.5 million. But from looking online, it seems if you score about a 10 extra points in a week, you can jump a million. So I wouldn't be too worried about that now. How about yourself?
Not too dissimilar. I was only looking at our teams there this evening, and I was like, oh, we're very similar. I think the only difference between myself and yourself is I have Shaw where you have Gabriel, and they both got the 1 point. And I have Mitoma where you have Mbeumo. So, 12 points versus 16. But for the benefit of audio listeners, Turner in goals, Chilwell 1 point, Shaw 1 point, and Stupin and carrying the load in defence with 11. Fernandez and Rashford blank and Martinelli Blanken, Saka Blanken, Mitoma carrying the weight in midfield. God bless you, Brighton. And Haaland blank with Watkins 5 points to round it up. So 45 here. Game week rank, just looking at it because it's on the screen, 4.3. I'm not overly familiar with where I am overall wise, but I was chatting to you before we hit the record button, and I did want to ask you, when does overall rank actually even become a thing for you?
I think for me, it's generally around the Christmas period when I start to kind of really focus on it. If memory serves me correct, I've in the past to be trying to be around the 100k mark for Christmas. That tends to be a good baseline, and then try push for the illustrious top 10k. But it has been getting harder and harder. I'm one of those weirdos that has my game week rank for every season from, I think it's 2017 or something. So I actually have an Excel here, and I see like around that game week 19 or 20, that's just generally around Christmas, I think. And like, I'm just looking back there, I think there's 5 seasons here I have on my screen, missed the last couple, but generally have been like 98K, 92K, 60K, 60K around the kind of Christmas period. Whereas, you know, earlier in the year, you can be up in the 1, 2 millions, and I don't really get too stressed about it. There was a year there that I think got off to a bad start, and I actually found it tough to try and get forward, I think. So I wouldn't want it to go on too long, but hopefully now once these transfers start being made, we'll start jumping up the ranks.
Yeah, I was trying with every fiber in my being there to not scream nerd at you. I'm a little jealous. There's because you know yourself, like the website does not lend itself to, you know, actually keeping that kind of data. Like once the season finishes, it's like, here's your overall rank. The rest of it can go to shit. So yeah, I'm projecting my own jealousy onto you there for having it all in front of you. But yeah, I'd probably agree with you because I was only thinking myself this week with how uninterested I am at the moment. Like obviously the first few weeks you just never care, as you said, 10 points here, 10 points there, you know, there's a million places in the rank. But yeah, it just as I was writing down the notes for tonight, I was like, when does overall rank matter to Steve? Is it just me? Is it like, you know, something that, you know, it comes in later in the season? And yeah, no, at Christmas time it makes sense. But for those of you who just tuned in, we got decent enough show lined up for you tonight. We've got some United asset talk, some City defense talk. We're going to look at Watkins, Gabriel, penalties. Is there a load of options in the forward line all of a sudden? We're going to look at the mini league, and we've got a pretty packed drunk tank tonight. And then a little preview for game week 3. For those who missed last week's episode, you missed our big announcement. This year, we're proudly sponsored by Kiniger in regards to the FPL Hangover Mini League. So basically, we've got manager of the month prizes. We've got an overall manager of the year prize, obviously. And if you want to get in on that, it's HUP8K9. Make sure to join the league. Again, it's HUP8K9. The code's up on screen for those watching on YouTube. Yeah, we've seen a massive jump in the last week, and the league was competitive enough as it is. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays on. But yeah, we've looked at our team, Steve. I guess it's time to you know, look over some of the hot topics, the talking points, if you will.
That sounds good. And I just have a quick bone to pick with your co-host Paddy. I was expecting a package to land at my house here in Dublin all day. No sign of a Kinnegar Brewery package for tonight's pod. So I'd have to take that up with Paddy offline, I think, will I?
Is Paddy writing checks? He's, you know, he's asking on cash. Is that it?
It sounds like that now. I was expecting a couple of those lovely ice cold cans landing at the door, you know, but it just didn't happen. So I'm stuck with a pint of nitrous or like, you know, kind of Guinness here now instead.
Cheers to you, sir. Cheers to you. I've been, I'm going with the Tumper tonight. I obviously some of the friends of the show got onto us during the week, and you know, we're talking about the offers actually, which I didn't mention, which is a perfect segue. If you do want 15% off of any orders, now this is strictly for Republic of Ireland, maybe just Ireland in general, listeners, you can use the code FPLHOPS15. All of this information is going to be linked in the description of the show below. But they were talking about the Tumper brand, and they were talking about it blowing the head off you. 7.8% so far.
Ho, ho,
Oh,
ho.
so far it's actually going down super smooth. I was a big Bunny fan before, sitting here behind me. It'll be my second can, but yeah, this Tumper is it's going down well tonight. You've got the Nitro Surge. Paddy owes you a rick at Kinnegar.
And I actually am a big fan of the beer, because there was a period there when I w was trying to cut back on booze, and I was a big fan of their Low Tide. I think it's like a 1% or a 0.5%
Ooh.
beer. Yeah, and it actually tastes good, because a lot of them don't really taste great. But yeah, theirs is a very nice one, and I'm actually going to a wedding on Friday. That's about 10 minutes from the brewery, so I might have to stop in and get a few cans.
Do and if you get a if you can say that the FPL Hangover sent you, that would probably be
That'd
worth
be
it.
great.
It's weight in gold up there. But yeah, let's head on over to Talking Pints. Talking Pints. So first up this week, now maybe I'm biased. We're both United fans here, myself and yourself, Steve. But we've seen a second consecutive blank from Bruno and Rashford. What are your thoughts on the United assets at the moment?
It's very frustrating, but I feel a lot of my team is a bit frustrating at the moment. So, like, I think I'm one of the people that didn't get on to the G Gabriel Saliba pre-deadline news. So I have him in my team who's been a bigger frustration than my Man United assets. But I have Bruno, I have Rashford. I'm keeping them both this week. I think there's a few people pulling the trigger on the likes of Foden and other midfielders. I just think it's mad. Like, they have Notts Forest at home. They need a big game. Surely they get something here. If they don't, I'll happily sell one of them next week when they play Arsenal away. But just looking at their fixtures after the Arsenal game as well, like, they do have a lovely run. Like, I think they have Brighton, Burnley, Palace, Brentford, Sheffield United. Like, that's a lovely run. And I, you know, like yourself, I have two Arsenal midfielders, two Man United midfielders. So depending on what happens this weekend, I think that will help me with my decisions going forward. I'd really like the look of Phil Foden against Newcastle there during the week. So if I can hold off him for this week, I'll probably drop one of those four for him next week then, because Man City have a lovely run as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a massive jumping off point. Like, we were chatting as before we went on air, and I was saying, like, I made my decision last week in the regards of, like, the Gabriel benching and then not having Chilwell. I was like, you know what, I'll just make that move this week because Chilwell is going to go up. And I jumped on him last week, which obviously, looking at the squad on Monday night from Arsenal, I was like, yep, perfect decision, justified. Don't give a shit what you get. You know, it's like, because, you know, Chilwell barely scraped the 60 minute mark. So if Gabriel had started and kept the clean sheet that, you know, was always going to be on the table for Arsenal, I probably would have been a little more sickened. But he didn't start again, and I was like, okay, no matter what happens here, I feel like I made the right move, which means then that going into this week, I only have obviously the one free transfer, but the likes of yourself, and I would imagine the majority of engaged managers are going to be going into game week three with two transfers. Like, obviously there's a need to use one this week, because you're not going to burn a transfer this stage of the season. You've already talked about United, you know, with a lovely home fixture, against Nottingham Forest. I guess it's just that Gabriel move you're sorting out.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's a bit of a strange one. Like, I'm very torn, and I actually prepped, and I do have a few options, but I really am not clear on what my decision will be. I really regret that Gabriel Saliba, and I think it's like a 12-point swing or 13-point swing or something between the two of them, which is annoying at this stage of the season. But I do see, I'm in a group with three other guys that we chat FPL every day, more or less. And I don't know if you know Chris Tan from the Hub. I feel like it can always be worse, because I see Chris, he saw the news, and instead of going with Saliba, he went with Timber. Exactly. So he got Timber in and then has had to transfer him out. So, like, he's a transfer down and has missed out on the points as well, you know. So
That should make a lot of FPL managers feel better.
Exactly. It could be worse. You could be Chris. you could be Chris Tan. But, I think Gabriel is probably the main fire in my team at the moment. I have a few options there. I've been looking at, like, there's people like, I think, like, Gvardiol from Man City. No one knows if he's guaranteed his place or not, but he's at the same price. I also have 0.5 in the bank. I started with 0.5 this season, but, like, Ruben Diaz is meant to be the one who's the safer option, but I think if he can save that 0.5, it could come in handy down the line. I do like the Gvardiol option, because Man City's fixtures are just so good. I think, like, for the next, I think it's up to game week 12 is when they have a hard game, excluding Arsenal in during game week 8. But, you know, like, they just seem like they've started the season with these clean sheets, and I don't see that changing. So it might be nice to go for him, and it's a straightforward swap. And then the other guys I've kind of been just considering are either Henry or Pinnock from Brentford. Going down to 4.6 and 4.5, that'll free up another 0.5 in my team, or else Caldwell from Chelsea, but he just feels a bit boring, and I already have Chilwell. And then there's also talk of Gusto at 4.0, but I just don't think he's you know, Reece James. So I think, as things stand, if I had to pull the trigger on a transfer right now, it'd be Gvardiol. in for Gabriel and just bank the other. But then there's this argument that people are making that because Timber's now out and Tomiyasu got the red card, that Zinchenko will come back in at left back. Partey will go to the bench. Zinchenko will play that inverted role. And if he plays, Gabriel has to play left centre back.
Because I'm with you, watching the match last night, Zinchenko coming on, getting a few minutes. If he's fit enough to start, why would... Oh, I get you. They've switched from Partey playing the inverted to...
Exactly, to Zinchenko playing the inverted, yes. Yeah. And that seems to be the way that, Arteta is playing now, that he has this, either the right back or the left back is inverted, and if he benches Partey and plays Zinchenko, then Gabriel should start, but... At the same time, there's a lot of guesswork there, and it would be nice to just get rid of that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm looking at Arsenal's fixtures. They've got Fulham at home in game week 3. Then United, obviously, away in game week 4. Everton, Spurs away in game week 5. So two tough home games, with United and Spurs. And then Everton, I didn't think Bournemouth looked too bad at the weekend. And then City in game week 8. Yeah, I guess the question is, are Arsenal, if you've got Saliba, you're laughing, as in if you've had him for the last 2 weeks, Fulham at home, Everton and Bournemouth in the next, four, you're like, yeah, why wouldn't you hold on to him? But in terms of investing, to use what you said against Colwell, I'm like, it's a bit boring to go back to Arsenal.
Yeah.
For me, it is. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You said Guardiola. I'm just going with Guardiola. There's a V in there. I've no fucking idea what way you're saying that.
Where it goes.
Yeah, but we'll say Guardiola. I'm like, I don't think he beats Diaz for numbers this year. I think they've paid a lot of money for him. I think he's going to be absolutely flogged. And, he's young enough and seemingly quality enough to be able to play the minutes. And, yeah, I don't see how you can overlook City's next, even if you just look at the next four. As you said, there's a rake of, decent fixtures in down the line. But Sheffield United away, Fulham at home, game week 5 away to West Ham. You can, make it out what you want, but then at home to Forest and then away to Wolves. I'm like, yeah, I want a bit of City. City defence. And for me, I'd be leaning towards Guardiola as ahead of Diaz. But
yeah. All right.
That's just basically pepper roulette at the end of the day. We could be sitting here looking at this in 4 weeks going, what the fuck were you talking about? Diaz hasn't missed a minute,
Yeah, yeah. But even on that, I'm looking at my own squad there and I have Destiny on the bench. I'm not going to try
so
to say
deep,
his surname.
Steve. Sounds so deep.
I have Destiny on the bench. And Gabriel coming on for the one pointer the last 2 weeks, that's actually more annoying, whereas Pep seems to not make many subs, and if he does, it's generally the likes of Alvarez and those guys that come on or off. If you do get Guardiola and if he starts 3 out of the next 4, you'd be happy enough, especially when you have someone like Destiny on the bench. But then,
is that his first name, Udagi?
Destiny
Udagi. It's the first time I'm hearing this. I'm like, he's gone fucking mad. I can't stop the show. We're 20 minutes in, He's talking about Destiny on the bench.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's his name. And I'm just looking there. I see I have, for example, this week could just play Destiny and bench Gabriel. But at the same time, if I bring in Guardiola, I could have Destiny as my first sub.
I don't know how anyone could disagree with Destiny as your first sub, Steve. I'm fucking slurring. This Tumper is kicking in already.
It's kicking in early. But even just looking ahead at week 4 and 5, I know Brighton have Newcastle and United. They could be tough games. I wouldn't mind playing Destiny for his home game against Sheffield United.
I can't take this seriously. This is literally the first time I've heard people say Destiny. I'm like, what? Okay. But you brought up a good point there, and it's something I don't think I even wrote it down for this week, but I did want to talk to you. Brighton. So, start of the season, we all knew what we got last year. Everyone targeted Brighton at the start of the season. They had lovely, opening fixtures, Luton and and all of these matches you're going like, oh, I need a bit of brightness to start. But I also remember everyone going, but their fixtures turn in game week 4. And you can see, like, we've got our lovely fixtures list on the table here, proudly brought to you by www.premierfantasytools.com. And, I don't know if, Steve, since the last time you've been on, we've just shilled out. We're just absolute whores to anyone that will sponsor us.
Wow.
But I do like that site. It's really, really easy to use, and it's been a bit of a pleasure to use it so far this season. But Brighton, United, Newcastle, Liverpool, all in the next 6. In sandwiched in between that, you know, we have West Ham, we have Bournemouth. I think Villa's in there somewhere. I can't really see. But based on the form so far and how electric they look, picking up off the end of last season, like taking that data into consideration, will we want to jump off of Brighton? That's my question. Like, I'm looking at Matoma, and I know you don't have Matoma, we both have a stupid M. But I'm genuinely going, like, where do we jump off of Brighton here? Are we going to jump off?
Yeah, like, it's a tough one. And I think starting with a Stupinen in my head, game week 4, I thought I'd probably sell him. The way he started the season, you can't sell him. I think he's already up like 0.2 or 0.3 million. He'll continue to rise. I think he's one of the top scoring players in the game, even though... Have they even kept a clean sheet?
Nope, they have not.
but like, you know, you obviously play him this week. You could probably play him next week. You could probably play him against Man United the way they're going as well. But yeah, I really don't like them from, I think it's week 7, 8, 9. They have Villa, Liverpool, City. That's obviously a tough run. But if I have someone like Destiny as my first sub, I can just swap him in and out. And if I get Gvardiol in with Chilwell, like, you know, that leaves you strong enough that I could bench a Stupinen. If I have Matoma like yourself, I think it might be a different thought process. One of the other 6.5s, or if the likes of Madison or somebody or Foden, if you could free up the funds, I'd be tempted by someone like that for those few weeks. But I don't have that issue, and I think I can bench one.
Yeah, and you don't have that issue, and I'm with you, by the way, in terms of like Brighton. You know yourself, things FPL, I don't know about you, but for me, eventually things make themselves obvious. You know, situations crop up where you've no choice but to make an action on that, and you're condemned to freedom. You know, you're like, yep, fine, this is what I got to do this week. But you mentioned like Mitoma being my issue, and you're right, it's something I will come back and have to maybe look at in a few weeks. But you don't have that issue because you've gone ahead with Boom Boom himself, Brian Mbeumo. How lucky do you feel that he's on penalties, you son of a bitch?
Absolutely lucky. I feel if he wasn't on penalties, all this hype around him wouldn't be there as much. But to be fair, like, he's playing in the front line. He's on penalties. He takes a lot of set pieces. Brentford just look organized.
Steve, like, look, let's look at the facts, okay? He's gotten 3 goals. 2 of them were penalties, and 1 of them was in the 90 plus minute of injury time after Fulham had gone down to 10 men.
Yeah.
It's an absolute farce.
Nah. Mitoma's poxy run is what the farce is here. Mbeumo getting 2 penalties in 2 games is normal. He'll probably continue to get 36 penalties in the next 36 games, and he might just top Haaland for top scorer this season. So, but there could be a problem in January when Tony's back. He could have to wrestle the penalties off him. So we'll see what happens there. I actually just listened to his podcast there today. On the Diary CEO.
CEO,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Actually, very interesting. He kind of comes across like just like a driven, calm guy that made a big mistake, but
it's because he looks like a spanner to me, an absolute spanner. But what does, I probably shouldn't even talk about this in the show, but how does he justify the betting? He just made a simple mistake.
I think like when the interviewer is talking to him, and he's you know, kind of saying that when people own up to their mistakes and all this, but Tony kind of goes back on himself, and he's like, well, I don't think I actually made a mistake, and I don't remember back in my team to lose in these things. You're like, you're not really owning this. But anyway,
That's probably a conversation for
Yeah.
another day, isn't it?
Another Diary of a CEO point two. Yeah, I don't know. I remember that Instagram video from, I think it was preseason last year, and I was like, oh, something seems a bit mad about this lad. But yeah, as you said, it's probably a conversation for another day, and maybe the likes of Lucas Paqueta can take some inspiration from whatever bullshit Tony was spinning. But speaking of penalties, we had a lot of shocks this week. You are a Watkins owner. Just a quick look at the team. I was like, you're a Watkins owner, not on penalties. You're a Saka owner, not on penalties anymore. How does that
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it?
What a kick in the
And like
tits.
you're buying Watkins at what is he, 7.5 million?
Eight
Eight
million,
million,
eight
yeah.
million.
Like you're spending that
Yeah.
money on a Villa striker, but you're kinda going, oh, they look good under Emery. He's on penalties, he's the main man, he was great towards the end of last season. After that, it would open your eyes to it. And I think like that's why I'm not fully sold on the Gabriel transfer. I do have my eyes on Jackson at Chelsea. Again, not really proven in the Premier League, but they have a beautiful fixture run and he frees up a bit of cash. And I suppose the other option I'm considering is Alvarez at Man City. If you don't go Foden, you just go for Alvarez, free up a bit of cash there from Watkins as well. Like his fixtures are okay. Like I'm looking at the next four. They're away to Burnley, who could be a tough game. They could do well there. But he's got Liverpool and Chelsea in two of the next three after that. Yeah, it's hard to know.
And Brighton in game week seven as
Yeah,
well.
like it does look tough. And the fact that he's off penalties, like I would be very tempted to just move for someone like Alvarez there or Jackson. There's also talk of, I think Wissa has the second highest non-penalty XG in the league. He's another option, but I think with Mbeumo, I'm happy enough to have one Brentford player, or like one Brentford attacker anyway. But yeah, Alvarez and Jackson are really standing out as Watkins replacements, to free up some funds as well. So not really sure, but I don't even think I need the funds at the moment. So it's a bit of a strange one, you know, because if you do sell one of the Man City or Arsenal players going into game week four, like there's no one really in the game that is more expensive. So I don't really, like apart from Salah, who I'm not really fussed on, and I won't be captaining him. So it's not like you really need the funds, but yeah, Watkins is definitely on the potential chopping block. And with Saka, I think I'm happy enough. They have decent fixtures. They look like one of the better teams in the league. They won their first two games. You know, I'd be more inclined to keep Saka than Watkins, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in the sense of like Watkins. You look at those fixture lists, and if that asset is on penalties, you think, yeah, fine. Liverpool away, Chelsea away. All I need is a poxy penalty, do you know? So you've always got that out, and that seems to have been taken away now, which is infuriating. And just to throw a name into the hat there in the forward line, you've talked about Alvarez and you were talking about Jackson. Did Nketiah make any impression on you last night? 5.5?
Like
Nah.
I'll just be honest, I could pretend that I'm interested, but no, he's just not on my radar. He's one of those guys, like I think if I was spending a 5.5 or you know something in around that, I'd probably just
If you had a João Pedro or something, maybe.
exactly, if I had a jab head or something. But like no, I just think he's one of those guys that would end up being rotated. Like Trossard looks good. Coming off the bench, he'll surely be due a start soon. Havertz, is he a striker? Is he a midfielder? Is he what is he?
A waste of space.
Yeah, and I also have Martinelli there as well. So like, I definitely like I'm not in the. I don't really see Arsenal as hammering the goals at the moment. I know this week would be nice against Fulham, and they do have Everton in 2 weeks, but then I think they also have United and Spurs either side of that. So. Yeah, I won't be trebling up on the attack anyway, I don't think.
No, that's fair enough. And I'm with you in terms of penalty wise. Like, Saka not being on penalties, Yeah, I splashed out the extra 0.5 on him over, well, prior to getting Martinelli in my team. I was like, yeah, Saka's in there no matter what. He's on penalties. It's worth a half a mil extra. And now Odegaard is, you know, seemingly taking his place. And you know what? He's also the same price. So I'm like, between the two of them, Odegaard might have penalties, a few set pieces. I think Saka's probably going to score more goals from open play. As we saw in game week one. So I think it's a much of a muchness here. But it's led me to another question that, again, just prepping the show for tonight, it kind of popped into my head. And, you know, you're fairly engaged in the social media side of things. You'd be like myself. You'd kind of have an ear to the ground at the very least in regards to what the general, you know, what people are saying. And at the start of the season, you'll remember price tags were announced, you know, all the prices were there, and everyone was kind of saying, oh, it's you know, it's too easy this year. Yeah, Haaland's 14 million, but you know, look at all these players, they're underpriced, X, Y, and Z. I'm sitting here two game weeks past, and I'm going, there's actually a shit ton of options. Like, and because the prices are so attainable and they're you know, they're easy to get to, regardless of your formation or your strategy, I can't help but feel that we've essentially, you know, we've kind of, I wouldn't say beat the template, but there are ways around it. Am I mad in that stuff?
No, I think you're right. And I think, especially in the midfield, like, there's so many options. I know, like we're both on double Arsenal, double Man United. Probably not very happy with them. But there's like so many options out there. Like, I have a few players here on a bit of a wish list or a watch list. I don't have money midfield.
Careful, that's copyrighted.
Sorry. But you said like that you just jump onto anything, so I'm sure you can get the sponsors to cover you there. But on the midfielder front, like, I don't really have Manny on the watch list at the moment. I have Foden there, but like, I was just watching some of the highlights there last night, and is it Diaby at Aston Villa? I was just watching the highlights. Like, he looked so good. I know he didn't return, but like, he just looked electric. And you've got like all the 6.5s. I really like the look of Madison in his first game there, although he could be injured and he has a boot and all these things.
They're talking about only, I think, maybe precautionary for this week. He maybe misses this week as a precaution, but in general, not.
Yeah, because like, if I look at, like, I'm happy with my five midfielders to a degree, but then there's also like Odegaard, Foden, Madison, Richarlison could even be an option down the line, Mitoma, Diaby. Like, there's another six on top of my five.
March. The highest scoring fucking midfielder player in the game.
Yeah, so like, yeah, that's definitely true. But, and I feel like money is not really going to be an option either, like, or a problem.
No.
And I think with De Bruyne being out as well, like, who's generally an expensive player. And I suppose it could be interesting. Like, it could shake things up a little bit if Son was to get a run up top for Spurs. I think he's about 9 million. That's another guy who can kind of shake it up. He's probably on penalties. As well, and like,
even Richarlison, you know, like, if he was to shake the rust out of his hole, and all of a sudden you've got a 7 million out of position player there as well.
True,
you know what I mean? There's a rick, and then we haven't talked about Eze, who was obviously a bit of a darling pre-season. I think he's, you know, I don't know if I blame him for not delivering against Arsenal, and he still looks lethal and looked great in the first game, but again, another option that we can turn
to. And I do, like, I think, is it game week 5 that Newcastle's fixtures turn? They have a lovely run there, and like the likes of like, you know, Isaac up top. Well, he's probably the main one, but then he rotates for Wilson, and you have that problem and all these other things. But like, I think, like, you know, currently not many have any Newcastle assets in their squad. So like, if money isn't an option, the likes of Trippier, even at his more expensive price, could come back on the scene. So I think like, over the next 3 weeks, there will be a bit of divergence amongst teams, and that's hopefully where we'll jump onto the right bandwagons at the right time.
Yeah, you said it there, and I think that's the word I was looking for, is divergence. I'm like, there's been seasons that we've played in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years where it just didn't ever look like there would be divergence because this was essentially the way you were going all the time. And now I'm, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you know, form, fixtures, the price points, I'm like, yeah, there seems to be lots of you know, zigs and zags. You know, you go left, well, fine, I'll go right. Even at the start of the season, I was sitting there with my team and I had Solly March in it. And I'm not going to go, oh, you know, I should have, I had March, I picked him. I was like, no, I just went, he is clearly an option. You know, like same price point as Mitoma. I was like, he's clearly basically the other side of the pitch. There's your zig when you could zag, you know. And I don't know. I feel like it's going to be, that's going to be the case throughout the season. And I'm actually kind of a little excited. I'm like, it means if shit goes wrong, you can start, you know, kind of going alternative routes without, you know, basically tanking your entire season, which was what the case for the last few years is. Like, if I'm not going to go with the template, I'm essentially shooting myself in the foot. I'm like, no, there are ways around it. And I don't know, I feel like maybe everyone was a little bit harsh on FPL towers at the start of the year when the prices were released, and all of a sudden it was like, you're ruining the game, you're aiming at casuals. I'm like, maybe they were onto something. Yeah. I don't know.
And I think especially like now that captaincy is basically gone, it is having these picks that is for, like, you know, over the next 3+ weeks, when you start going different routes, and just because we have so many good options, I think that's where things will start to shake up a little bit, hopefully.
Is it gone, Steve? Is captaincy? Like, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but
I feel bad for our friend FPL Era, because I think his captaincy video for the next 36 weeks will just be Haaland for the armband. While he scores a very dubious goal with a goalkeeper that doesn't look great. I'm looking forward to some weeks.
Is this Era or Haaland?
Both. our friend Gvardiol lookalike, isn't he? I feel like his videos for the next 36 weeks will be the same captain, unless there's, like, you know, any reason to go against him. But, like, I'm just looking, you know, even say the next 6 weeks, I literally can't see any other captain. Like, he's got Sheffield United, Fulham, West Ham, Forest, Wolves, Arsenal, fair enough, Brighton, United, Bournemouth. Like, it's just, you're not going to back against
him. Then again, right, look at it this way, Steve. Salah was offside by a toe last week against Chelsea, right? If that's not ruled out, that's a golden assist. He's beaten Haaland there probably, or level with him in points because, you know, the two goals. And then this week, he misses a penalty. So, again, Salah scores that, gets a couple of baps. It's a completely different narrative, and you're going, maybe Salah can rival him. I mean, like, I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit. I pretty much agree with what you're saying. But you know, at least Era can just, you know, bring a change of t-shirt and just quickly just swap him out and just do about 15
exactly. He can have it all done in one night.
And we've noticed we haven't forgotten about the ADR this year. We've noticed the audio quality.
Absolutely.
It's clearly dubbed post.
He's really stepped off the content. Recording. But like, just on Salah there, I do have, like, you know, this little notion of bringing him in around game week 9, he could shake things up a little bit there, because he's a lovely little run of 4 games there, and I think he has Man City then afterwards, but he has another couple of nice fixtures after. So I think we'll know a lot more by then as well, and we probably could be playing wild cards if we're being honest as well. So could be a nice time to jump ship with some assets and go with 2 premiums then.
I guess it's time to move over to the FPL Hangover Mini.
Can I just pause for 1 second? I have one more talking pint that I'd like to raise, or just get your thoughts on. Who's your goalkeeper currently?
Pickford.
Yeah, I'm Pickford as well. Is he a talking pint?
Interesting.
I was doing a bit of like teasing out my options, and I'm kind of going, if I held on to Watkins and just see what happens this week, and if Gabrielle, I may or may not do that move, but I'm kind of looking, going 0.5 in the bank. Is there anyone that makes sense to go to? And I think Like you keep going back to if I got rid of Watkins, for example, and went down to Jackson or Alvarez, I'd have the money to go up to the likes of Ederson. And I know
Ederson,
Ederson's a tough hold in FPL. I've never really had him over the last few years, so I haven't got that scar. But like with those fixtures, you're not stressed about him being benched like Diaz or Kvaratskhelia or whoever. That's one option, but I think he's always capped at the 6 points, which is annoying. The other guy that I like is, it's purely because I'm looking at who I have in my defender watch list, is Flecken, because I'm looking at Henry and Pinnock, and I'm like, would Pickford Flecken just make sense now and have it done? Because like, while Everton's fixtures don't look brutal, like, and I have him rotating with Turner, like it looks like I'm playing Pickford 5 times out in the next 6 weeks, and Everton look absolutely shite at the weekend. I actually missed Match of the Day, and I watched the Premier League summary on YouTube there, and like, Jesus, they look so bad. And I'm kind of like, I'm sitting here going, am I really looking at 5 out of 6 weeks? Would they get one clean sheet? Would I even bank them for one clean sheet? I just don't see it. So I'm kind of thinking like, if you, I always think of the guy Josh that won FPL. I think it was 2 years ago.
Joshua
Joshua
Bull.
Bull, yeah. And like there was a line that he used, and it was always saying that he always, when he was looking at his transfers, instead of going for like the luxury moves, for example Watkins to Jackson, he always focused transfers on like the worst players in his squad basically.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
fires.
and
It's
like I look
classic.
at Gabriel as a fire, but he might not be. Watkins is not a fire, the midfielders are not fires, so like Pickford, his hands looked like they were on
United,
fire
to be
at the
fair,
weekend,
United
the way he
midfielders
was
could be
coming out for those
fires.
balls. But he could be one. Have you had any thoughts around Pickford and who you might replace him with if you were to?
It's a great question. And I've been sitting here since game week one, and looking at people going, making smart comments on Twitter, going like, "Oh, well, at least I didn't have Pickford," and blah blah blah. And I'm sitting there going, "No, there's a reason," and I'm with you. The match of the weekend, they got fucking spanked by Villa. They just look
Yeah, like
shocking, and in my
it could have
head
been
I'm
way
going
worse.
like, it could have been, and in my head I'm going, if I'm picking three to go down this year, Everton, they're probably in the three because they've barely scraped the last couple of seasons, and they don't look to have really shored up at all.
Yeah, which we
I
thought they
guess I was
would.
putting a bit of, yeah, under Dyche, why wouldn't you? You're thinking like he's gonna try and turn him into what essentially Burnley were. And yeah, I think it's a great option. For me, a goalkeeper move isn't it's a it's for my wild card. If I wanted to early wild card, or if I'm when I'm wild card, and if it's game week nine or whatever, then I'll make my decisions. I look at the fixtures, and I am kind of heavily a fixture over form manager, and I think home to Wolves, away to Sheffield United. They're at home to Arsenal in game week five, but I'm pretty sure Turner
Yeah, he
covers
plays
that with a
Burnley, yeah.
lovely. Exactly, so he covers that. Their fixtures are still pretty tasty, and for a four, I just look at it like a 4.5 defender. I'm not expecting them to get a clean sheet every week. I actually think they were probably a bit unlucky to not to have a clean sheet last week in game week one. I don't think Fulham really came into that
Yeah.
game until there was like 20 minutes left. Maybe that's not, worth its weight, but like for me, I'm happy to keep my transfers for outfield, for that slightly higher ceiling. I'm not going to waste it on my 4.5 essentially defender. So no, I'm going to, but I'm a stubborn son of a bitch. Like that's my logic with Pickford. I'm just waiting. And if he got one clean sheet and then blanked five in a row, I'd probably be like, yeah, maybe I will get rid of him. But the fact that he hasn't got one yet, I'm going to just, I need to see those 6 points before I even consider getting him out of my team. And I think the fixtures are there. They're there. Like, I think against Fulham, as I said, I don't think they were terrible. They did get their asses handed to them against Villa, but Villa are a team that I am expecting to challenge for top six. So, yeah, that's a tough fucking match. And Villa came off the back of a spanking at Newcastle the week beforehand, so they would have been extra geared up. So if you knock that out of the way and you look at the rest of those teams, to me, I'm like, low scoring matches. Yeah, you can squeeze a clean sheet or two out of that, a couple of save points, blah, blah, blah. I'm not overly concerned with
Pickford. And like looking at Wolves, they're home to Wolves, like that's a very good fixture. And they're away to Sheffield United, who we don't expect to score many goals either. So, yeah, it's probably not a problem for right now anyway. And I suppose if they don't get any clean sheets there, and if you have a free transfer down the line, you might consider doing it.
Exactly. If we're sitting here in game week five, coming up to game week five, and they haven't kept a clean sheet to Wolves or Sheffield United, and even came close to looking like a clean sheet, then I'll look like an idiot, and B, I have no issue using that transfer day because it's the data's backing it up. But no, I think people are being a little bit a little harsh on the Pickford owners, such as myself and yourself. I think this it made sense, and like I had 0.5 in the bank, you had 0.5 in the bank. We both could have went on Anna, and we could have got our 9-pointer there against Wolves on.
Yeah, I know. In game one. It's frustrating. Yeah.
Do you know it is? Yeah, but. How lucky were United? You could argue they were more lucky than Everton. Or, well, I guess Everton weren't lucky, but you know what I mean? Like, there was more fortuitousness in that game week fixture than in Everton's one. So, yeah, I'm willing. I'm sticking by him for a while. I don't even like the prick. That's the worst thing. I'm just like, I don't wish well on him, but I do like Sean Dyche. Yeah. And I want him to do well at Everton. And, yeah, I've still got some hope. But it's a good question, Steve. And, I guess, with your permission.
Onto the mini leagues.
FBL Hangman. Onto the mini leagues. I love it. Okay, so we're missing Paddy this week, which means we're missing our breakdown of all of the bench wankery and captaincy and all of the stats, all of which is provided by Premier Fantasy Tools. But I do have the top 10 here, Steve.
Super.
We have a new. Well, it's saying we don't have a new, but we definitely have a new. Number one, I guess that's just the way it is with the second game week of the season. In first place, we have Mini FC, Paulo Castro, 73 points. Second place, Ligue de Sug, CDF, Owen Barry. Third place, Man Feelings, Peter Scullion. Fourth place, We the Ones, Mike Manley. Fifth, Inter Sandman, Dan McManus. Sixth, Ivan Chang. Seventh, Mitomic Kittens. 8, Esto es puro torturo, Peter Dobson. It's you gotta love the globalization of FPL. In joint 9th, FC Twent, Benson, Michael Madden, and Mia Kate Stans, Fran Dever. And in 10th, there's actually 5 people in 10th place. We got Struggling City, Ryan Glugless, Real Sociedad, AD Freeland, 50 Shades of Flay, Mark Flay. That's our top. It says 10. It's probably 13 or 14. Thank you all for joining the league. And for those, as I mentioned at the top of the show, that want to take part, the code is HUP8K9. There's prizes for the manager of the month. There's prizes for the overall league. All free to enter, courtesy of the bunny, follow the hops themselves, Kenniger. It would be an honor to have you inside. And as I said, it's a pretty competitive league. So you know, fair play to you for having some balls to enter.
I don't think I'll be winning the manager of the month and a creative Kinnegar. I just had to look there and come in 93rd in the league at the moment, so it's a tough league.
Ooh, it actually fucking is. I'm looking at August here.
There was a stage last year. I had a pretty bad start last year, but a good finish. And there's a stage where I thought I was going to be getting called out on the podcast for being into the top 10, but I just missed there.
Oh, my apologies. Well, you're literally on the show this time, so
fair enough.
You don't need no call out, you know. But that's the mini league, as I said. Codes and auto join links are down below. Feel free to join. I guess, Steve, before we start trying to wrap this up, we got some time for some questions, would you think?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. First up, we got a question from former Mini League, FPL Hangover Mini League winner, FPL Quinner.
Ah, yes.
He asks, to Jackson or not to Jackson? That is the question. So a bit of a Shakespearean quote. What's your favorite Shakespeare play, Steve?
Jesus. Let's go back to Quinner there. He must be picking up some Shakespearean, or he must be doing a bit of reading over in, is it Canada? I think he's in at the moment.
I believe it is.
Yeah, Jackson or not the Jackson? I think that's a question I have myself. I know we talked about it. To be honest, coming in here, I wasn't fully sold on Selim Watkins. After our conversation, looking at the fixtures and the fact that he's off penalties, I think I'm more inclined to sell Watkins than I was pre-pod.
Yeah. Really? This show had an effect on you?
Yeah, I know. Well, like, I look at what you done to Paddy's rank last year. Jesus, you dragged him out of the bushes and he's absolutely flying. So,
not just last year, the year before that, too.
Expecting big things from him this year, too. But, yeah, no, I think after our conversation, like, he's probably not a fire for this week, but if I don't do a Gabriel move, I think he's the logical person to move on. And Jackson is a good option, yeah. I can't say no to that. What do you think?
I think 7 million is a really nice price point. Especially Watkins owners. You're like, yep, I can drop down to that without thinking twice about it. Really nice price point. I'm not overly worried about the fact that he hasn't got any returns yet. I think Liverpool and the game at the weekend, he's both looked pretty decent. And, you know, I think he could have got returns in either game. Like, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't invisible by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, I have no issues with Jackson. I just think that we're suddenly getting a few forwards. We mentioned them, Vissa, Nketiah, Watkins, Jackson, Alvarez. You know, there are lots of paths to go down here. So I think the only thing that would put me off Jackson would be if I decided to... It's not the player. It's that if I decided to basically attack another team, the likes of an Alvarez, maybe if I wanted to drop down to the 5.5s, you'd have the Nketias. I think, yeah, it isn't the player itself, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, yep, no issues with Jackson. I think he's in the right spots, do you know that kind of way? And I think it's only a matter of time before Chelsea kick.
And it's like Luton, Forest, Bournemouth. You don't really get like a much better run than that. I actually hadn't realised how good their fixtures are and how awkward Villa's fixtures are.
Are they going to smash Luton?
Yeah, but I did see today that Broya is back in training, which could, like...
Yeah, but he's been out of
And in reality, if Jackson... I know he hasn't got the goals, but he's had a very high XG as well, I think, without scoring, so... Surely with those three fixtures, he gets off the mark.
Yeah, he has had an IXG and like he had won a penalty this week. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, he's an offside decision away from potentially...
I actually think it's a tough one between Alvarez and Jackson because both have beautiful fixtures. And I think it comes down to if you see yourself getting Foden into midfield, you probably... are more inclined to go Jackson, whereas if you don't see space for Foden, you might go Alvarez.
That's 100% what I was going to say. No, it's 100%. Like, that's it. It's that. Yeah, it's if you decide to take the plunge on Foden, I don't know if I want to be taking that chance. And yeah, no, you've said it there, Steve. I'm like just repeating what you're saying. I'm like, it's 100% where it is. It's like you can spread those funds out. I mean, there's an argument to be made for Sterling, but, you know, in terms of just on the eye test, he looked really good, especially in the first half. He looked fucking up for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference between what we saw last year and, you know, maybe the last season or two before he left City, is that he just looked up for it this week against West Ham. And if you did decide to go Jackson and then Foden in midfield, you could just flip flop that and go, like, you know, Foden in mid or Sterling midfield and Alvarez up for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's options. But yeah, I hope that makes sense to you, Ian. Next question, FPL T-Bird. A new content creator on the scene from Ireland, Steve. I don't know if you're... Yeah, he does a podcast, so if anyone's got a bit of time, go check him out. I believe he's from... Oh, I want to say Leitrim, and if I'm wrong, I apologize.
So there's two creators from Leitrim there.
There is, yeah. Who knew? No, they should put a wall around the place. but he asks, name your top three fixture-proof players. Oh. I'm throwing that right over to you.
Well, I'm going.
Well,
I
unprepped.
suppose Haaland is the obvious. Fixture proof. To be honest, I really like Chilwell this season. I put him in there. I'm not sure if you would have kind of said him. Just from looking at the games, like he's playing as a winger, he's in the box, he's getting shots off. I think Chilwell number two. Third player, fixture proof. I think for the moment, Bruno's there, but he's
What?
getting the
Get the fuck
stat,
out of
like his stats
here.
are there. He's got a few nice fixtures. I won't call him out though. I'm actually going to go in Mbeumo
That's who I
just
was
because he's
gonna take. You
guaranteed to
can't be
get 36
stealing
more
it.
penalties over the next 36 weeks, so that's why I'm picking him. Who's your three?
Oh,
The
damn
same
you.
three.
Mbeumo was my sneaky third one. Yeah, I think, well, no, not the same tree, because I don't think Chilwell is, I mean, he could be potentially, but I am a little worried that he got taken off in 60 minutes. According to probably more intelligent people than me, they reckon that's just because him and Mudrić were
Just kind
fucking
of getting
up.
in each other's way.
Exactly, and that he couldn't take Mudrić off, obviously, so he took Chilwell off. So yeah, maybe that's what that was, but I'm a little bit like, the hairs in the back of the neck tingled a little bit when I saw him come off in 60. And we do have, there is Cucurella there to come on, so like we haven't seen any minutes from him yet. But my Haaland, obviously, number one fixture proof player. Salah, I still think he's fixture proof.
Oh,
Am
sorry,
I wrong?
absolutely. I was more looking at my team. He would definitely be number two. He would definitely be
Yeah.
number two if you had him. Yeah, absolutely.
It felt like a cheap way out, saying Haaland and Salah, but it is like they are fixture proof. They're as close to fixture proof as you get, and if Harry Kane was still in the league, he'd be third. But yeah, Mbeumo was my third option. I was like, I'll go a little bit left field.
Not going to go with Destiny now.
No, destiny is never has never been a friend of mine. I guess looking at it, I don't know. I think Saka is pretty fixture proof. I think
Well,
he
he's not
took
on
away all
penalties now,
season.
so I'd nearly go Odegaard over him. If I was starting
Really?
fresh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely have Odegaard.
So if you had a wild card right now, would
Oh,
you go Odegaard
absolutely.
over Saka?
Yeah.
Just because of
Yeah.
penalties?
And like last season, I think he scored
Pretty
almost the
close.
same with no penalties. So
Yeah,
yeah, I
that's
definitely
fair.
would
Yeah.
go Odegaard if I had the choice now.
Interesting. Yeah. It's one I have to mull over. As I said, you kind of threw me a curveball by taking him. Mbeumo. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to justify this, but nope, you've taken him.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I hope that answers the question, T-Bird. As I said, make sure to check him out. We also have a question from FPL Rogue. He asks, with the investment in a Salah draft, is it worth keeping him still after the Newcastle game in Game of 3 and the run of fixtures ahead? So, do you stick with Salah?
Like we've just said, he's the second most fixture-proof player in the league. If you don't
He
need the
is.
money, absolutely. I don't see why not. I don't like the fixture this week with Newcastle away, but after that with Villa, Wolves, West Ham, like yes, he'll surely score at least twice over those fixtures.
Is Diaz though for like four and a
Yeah,
half
like
million cheaper?
I forget which pod I listened to earlier this week, but someone said Mane was like 12 million or 12 and a half million in FPL before he went to Germany. And now we
Yeah.
have Diaz for 4 million cheaper, who's
That's a good
basically playing
point.
in that role for 4 million cheaper. He scored in his first two. He's back from injury, looks good. I do like him. It's weird with Liverpool this year. Like I don't really have a massive pull towards their players to buy them yet. But at the same time, when I heard that, I was like, why do I not have Diaz in my team,
That's a really good point. And whatever podcast said that, they should get
I'm gonna guess it was
some
above
credit.
average, but I'm not sure because it was one of the pods that comes out like for a Monday, so it was yeah, I think it was them.
No, that's a good point. I never thought of it that way. I'm like, because we were looking at Mane, and we all had Mane in our teams at points when it was him versus Salah. And in regards to Liverpool and their draw and being drawn towards them, I'm with you. I'm the same. Like, I had Trent in my pretty much in all my drafts at the start of the season, and then I just was like, no, I can actually get more value out of the midfield by dropping him down obviously that's paid off. I don't regret that move, but I feel like that's the reason, himself being 8 million and Salah being the second highest player, the second most expensive player in the game, that's the only reason I'm not drawn towards him, because I haven't really looked at the likes of the Salah or the Diazes and the Jotas, who also scored this week. And yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And do you get rid of Salah? Yeah, I think for me, I feel like I can get nearly as much out of Diaz as I could out of him.
Yeah, like, I think if Rogue has any transfers that he would like to make that he can't afford, that's probably a reason to sell. But at the same time, if you don't need the money, I would be holding on to him.
Yeah, and that's the other side of, like, there being so many options this season in terms of different price points and stuff to jump on. And it's like, you can make it work. If you want to make it work, you could, you know. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think I'd be looking probably a little closer at Diaz and saving that 4 million. Like, where couldn't you make the money back there, or the points back there, by investing that 4 million? So next up, we got a bunch of quick fire questions and we're going to fly through them. Samson, that's my Nicholas Jackson and Phil Foden. Who's the best captain for Game Week 3?
Haaland.
Yeah, I agree. But out of the two boys, Foden or Jackson, who would you throw your money on?
That's a good question. Jackson has Luton. Foden has Sheffield United. I'd go Jackson. Just because I know Foden looked great and all. But I think if Jackson's playing striker, he has the stats. Yeah, I'd go Jackson.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement in that. Just because, I'm not picking anyone on City other than Haaland. Yeah. Do you know that kind of way? But if I want to, you know, hedge my bets, with a different team, then yeah, Chelsea, Jackson, boom. Should I keep Rashford? This comes in from Stacks.
The answer is yes this week, and just I can reassess next week.
Yep. We've got a lot of people asking about Gabriel, Jojo, Apostol, Vishwas, Akolos, Gabriel, sell or hold.
I'm asking myself the same question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the more I think about it, I'm more tempted to do Watkins to Jackson now after chatting to you. Pre-pod, I was more tempted to do Gabriel to Gvardiol. Could do both. I do like the idea of having two transfers next week if I want to sell a Man United or an Arsenal midfielder. But I think long-term he's a sell. So if you have no other pressing issues, it's a sell. But he's probably going to drop in price later this week as well, isn't he?
Tonight.
Is he? Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I don't like hearing that.
You might need to make your decision in the next hour or two.
That's not good.
Yeah. For me, he's a sell. Yeah. I'm like, Watkins, I'm like, what did we say? He's a way to Burnley this week?
Watkins is away to Burnley, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of Watkins away to Burnley. It's a bit of a pity that we didn't see Burnley in action in Game Week 2, because I would have liked a bit more information that isn't them versus the fucking champions. Yeah. But no, I'm happy to have Watkins away to Burnley this week. And Gabriel, nah, I'd rather save the point one and invest in a different team defensively. So for me, he's a sell. Rude Boy 1389. Is Eze worth holding or go to Mbeumo?
Eze, let me see his fixtures. Palace, Brentford, Wolves, Villa, Fulham. Jesus, like, he looks so good preseason.
He is going to be decent.
He's just playing in a crappy team, isn't he?
That's 100% it. I don't think Crystal Palace is going to score.
I actually saw the Palace lineup at the weekend, and I was like, Jordan, Ayew, and all these boys, you're just like, how is this still their team?
I was thinking the same. And like, Ayew had a pretty decent game against Arsenal, like, you know, relatively speaking. And I was like, yeah. And then I was thinking, I still don't see him fucking scoring goals.
And like, looking at Brentford, they have Palace, Bournemouth, and Everton at home in the next three out of the next four. Yeah, I'd make that move.
Simple and wild. Yeah, it's in Boehm all day for me too. Obviously, team dependent on, you know, whether you need to make it or not. But yeah, if the question is it worth holding on to over Mbeumo, then no. I'm going, yeah, no. Going for triple Chelsea defence, Vishwas asks, is this a good move?
Not for me. They haven't gelled yet. No. I'd struggle to even go double defence, to be honest. So.
Yep, 100% agree with you, Steve. I mean, like, if you, yeah, you can get it on a Caldwell 4.5, you're laughing, Gusto 4.0. Yeah, it's not costing a lot of money, but as you said, they haven't gelled yet. I'm not convinced with Sanchez. Yeah. And, yeah, no, not triple defense is a bit crazy. Phil at Boothabi, he asks, Spurs defense a good option? As a Destiny holder here, Steve.
As a Destiny holder, the answer is yes. No, to be honest, from what I've seen of them, I think they will concede goals. I'm happy to have Destiny, 4.5 million, grand price, is a wing back, grand, has Bournemouth, Burnley, Sheffield United, Luton, Fulham in the next 8 or so. Probably won't be starting him if I buy Gvardiol. I would start him over a Stupinen. For a Stupinen's tough couple of fixtures. For me, I think at 4.5 million, it's either Destiny or a Brentford defender that I'd be buying. So, yeah.
Is Spurs defense a good option? Yes. I think everything you said is, it's on point. There's lots of options for 4.5. I'm on Brentford. I would be mildly concerned with Destiny's minutes. Yeah. It feels weird saying it. I'd be mildly concerned with him. And I don't know if you're looking on a big, you know, big picture scale, like Spurs-wise, I don't know how much they really give a fuck about defending. I mean, they obviously aren't going, you know, completely Blackpool level of just attack. But I feel like if you're going towards Spurs, it should be at the top half of the pitch, and maybe not be overly concerned with the defense. But 4.5, how fucking wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Last question: should I look to sell Luke Shaw?
No. No is my answer. They play Forest at home this week. I know they looked ropey in game week 1 and pretty crap in game week 2, but they surely have to come out with a bit of a reaction. They've got Forest. I'd probably bench him against Arsenal, but then they have Brighton, which, geez, I wouldn't want him against Brighton either. It's a good point. Yeah, and then there's a lovely little run of four games, but I'd keep him this week for sure, 100%. Next week, yeah. Game week 4 and 5 are tough, but he has a nice 6, 7, 8, 9. You could play.
I don't know. Is 8 nice? Home to Brentford?
They're at home. Oh, yeah, sure. Mbeumo's going to get a penalty that week as well. So
Yeah, of course.
That's a good point. And I think it's a bit of a killer for Shaw because they don't have a striker that can head the ball. And he's a guy who can put balls into the box. Looking at Rashford and Bruno's two headers for open goals, or not open goals, but like one-on-one with the keeper at the weekend.
That was a fucking
that wouldn't give you much confidence at all. Like, and you know, Rashford's miss with the Rabona from Bruno, like that was, you know, for not even hitting the target there. It wouldn't give you much confidence in Shaw, but at the same time, you would expect United to keep a few clean sheets along that run.
As a Shaw owner, obviously this week, I'm not really looking at, you know, getting rid. Home to Forest. This is his litmus test. But if it goes tits up again this week, that would be a kind of a red flag. And going into the Arsenal, Brighton, and those two fixtures, I don't think I wouldn't be too concerned. But I think I'd be holding out for one more week. You know, and as you said, he was a Bruno. You know, Bruno, like, come on. Like, that's probably one of the worst misses I've seen him have.
Shocking.
So, in another week, he's got his assist, Bruno's got his goal, and no one's talking about should you sell Shaw. Final one I'll throw at you, Steve. What's the meaning of life?
It's a good question. I'll let you know when I find out.
Fair enough. I'll sit here waiting. All right, before we wrap it up, Captain, I'm assuming we've talked about it. We're both going Haaland. It's a bit of a no-brainer. Is there any punts you'd like to take?
To be honest, after our conversation, I think I know what I'm going to do.
Okay, tell me.
This is actually very helpful. I think I'm going to make the move tonight of Gabriel to Gvardiol to keep my bank account healthy. Because I started with the 0.5, it'd be very annoying to be priced out by 0.1 for some transfers. I've just checked the predicted price changes there on Hub, and you're right.
I'm always
Gabriel
fucking
is
right.
due to go.
Jesus.
What I haven't checked is, okay, J Jackson is not due to go up, and Watkins is not due to go down. So I think I'm going to make the Gabriel to Gvardiol move, even though he could start and all these inverted things that could happen. But I think I'm going to make that move now. Go through with that. I'll have the other one free transfer, and I will ponder that until Friday. And I could make a move to Jackson or Alvarez, or I could just play Watkins, like you said, against Burnley, and then reassess next week. I think having two frees next week, if you do want to sell the likes of a Rashford, if he looks poor again, if you sell Rashford and Watkins, like you could basically buy Salah, or if you wanted there with a cheaper forward, or any other midfielder in the game, really. So I do like that idea. So I think I'm going to make that move now.
Fair enough. And if you were to captain someone that isn't Haaland, who would you be looking at?
That's a good question as well. If I was captain someone, I'm just looking at my team here for this week. I suppose it is Haaland. I wouldn't captain Rashford, even though he's playing striker. I'd probably go, like, from who I have, I'd probably go Bruno.
Saka. All right. Then I'd go
Yeah.
Saka, and we've got two answers, a Saka and a
Yeah.
Bruno. Yeah, I think they're both good shouts. I think I expect goals in both games. I really United need to come out firing, and Arsenal at home to Fulham. I'm actually a little bit worried about Fulham this year. They don't
Yeah,
look great.
and they've just lost Mitrovic, so
They've just lost
if
Mitrovic. I
Raul
don't
Jimenez is going
know.
to be their goal scorer, it doesn't leave too much. And I think just on the Bruno piece, as a person who I missed Match of the Day the last 2 weeks, but I've got to watch the highlights of the games this week. If I just listened to podcasts, I would have already sold Bruno this week. Well, like, it
Really?
just sounds like everyone's looking at dumping him and going to get rid of him and things, whereas I watched the highlights and he could have had a monster haul at the weekend. So he's gone
Yeah.
nowhere for me after seeing the highlights. And he's just got like assists, goals, penalties, like he's just all over the place. And I think if I was to sell a Man United player tomorrow, I'd sell Rashford over Bruno. So
That's as you were talking there, I was going because obviously, yeah, we've mentioned it. I wouldn't be getting rid of any United
yeah.
players this week, but the week after, I will be looking to maybe shift one, maybe two. And as you were chatting, I was going, actually, yeah, Rashford's the one
Yeah,
that needs to
exactly.
go
Especially when
ahead
he's
of
playing up
Bruno.
top, he's up to nothing. Whereas when he was on the left wing last year, he was good. I'd see, what's the new lad?
Hoyland is listed for the
Yeah,
squad.
so he could get a run at the weekend, but at the same time, it's going to take him a while. So, yeah, I think having Bruno over Rashford would make sense if I was to lose one right now.
Yeah, that's actually food for thought, and I'm glad. Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. Steve, where can everyone find you?
Can find me. I'm one of those people who does more FPL Instagram than FPL Twitter. So you'll find me at FPL Fairy over there, and you'll find me on Twitter as well with the same handle.
Perfect. And if you want to reach out to the show, you can get in touch with us at FPL Hangover on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, it's FPLHangover@gmail.com. I would like to thank everyone for joining this evening. Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming
Thank
on.
you very much. It's actually been really helpful because, as I said, coming in, I wasn't sure I had all these options, but I think I'm actually going to make a transfer the minute we hang up. So it's been very
Yeah, it's
helpful.
actually infuriated me listening to you. It's infuriated me. Like everything you've said, I'm like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. You're ahead of me in the mini leagues. I'm like, fuck off,
great
Steve.
Stuff altogether.
Yeah, but no, seriously, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, you said FPL Hangover. If you want to join the mini league, the code's on the screen. HUP8K9 for you audio listeners. We would love to have you in the league. Thank you for joining in with us this week. Enjoy Game Week 3, everybody. And most importantly, God bless.